Assalamualaikum dan salam sejahtera. Ini podcast Tiba, episod kedua bersama dengan Nani dan juga Luke. Kena umum Nani dan juga Luke sekarang ni. Pelik lah.
Ramai juga yang komen pasal Nani. Semuanya positif, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Ada yang komen cakap dia Siri. Siri Melayu.
Siri.
Siri telefon tu.
Suri. Saya Siri.
Siri Melayu. Ya, kau cuba buat sikit suara tu.
Hello. Eh, macam mana?
Suara Siri.
Mm-hmm. Ya, aku tahu Siri memang selalu cakap macam tu. Mm-hmm.
Restoran di berdekatan dengan anda. Macam tu. Tapi jangan sudah buat lah. Kalau kau
itu waste lah.
You ask her enough nanti you have to start paying her. Dia ke VO artist.
Okay.
Kita selalunya
episode lepas aku rasa antara yang aku boleh sifatkan antara yang berjaya tanpa tetamu. Aku rasa dalam 3 hari cepat juga babe. Ramai juga orang tengok apa semua.
Kita kena perempuan dalam masalah tu.
I'm pretty sure sebab Nani lah. Bukan tak kalah sebab kami. Kan? Kalau sebab kami dah lama dah tinggi sebelum ni. Ni tak tinggi maksudnya sebab you sis. Kita percaya.
Terima kasih. Walaupun masa tu I must admit korang punya lighting masa tu memang tak feminine friendly.
Hari ni dia datang makeup dia tebal gila.
Macam nak kahwin.
Masa hari tu kau makeup.
Tak makeup lah. Lepas tu orang tanya.
Bukan lighting problem.
Jeez. Tapi orang macam komen, sis pakai filter tua tu ke? Awas eh. Mak teruslah hari ni.
Tapi saya suka perempuan yang makeup tak tebal sangat ataupun even tak makeup langsung. Serius tu? Okay. I tak suka perempuan yang macam feel they need to make up tebal gila macam masa kahwin. Masa kahwin tu okay fine lah. Kasih chance lah. Kasih kau kahwin. Tapi every time tebal gila.
Now macam it's all about ni.
Yeah, but why do they think you look nice kalau tebal sangat ni?
Sabarlah, tengoklah nanti yang you will please compare. Okay. Yeah.
So, okay. Selalunya kita episode kita yang ada guest ni kita cuba untuk tak address comment.
Oh, cakap pula orang dah tengok ni. Lain sikit set ni kan. Tapi kat title tu dah ada lah kan. Orang dah tahu dah siapa tetamu kita. Tapi inilah kita dah pejabat dia. Sekejap lagi kita bawa kan tetamu kita tu. Tapi sebelum tu macam biasalah.
Dalam office ni kita ada 1,000 handbag.
Sebab tu Nani tengah tak tenteram ni. Dia memang tengah bawah ni penuh handbag dan sebagainya ni. Tunjuk sebagainya.
Apa dia? Letak bag atas meja. Producer kita suruh letak bag atas meja. Okay, kita promote sikit.
Tak tiba-tiba bukan rasa sponsor. Macam apa e-commerce platform kan. My, tekan bag kuning, you mau beli mana satu?
Okay lah.
Satu, you mau beli.
So, on more serious note, selalu kita tak address komen sebab kita tak nak terlampau panjang kalau ada guest. Tapi, kali ni aku terpanggil untuk respon sikit.
Kenapa kau terpanggil tu?
Aku terpanggil because ada ramai orang komen last episode kita. Dia kata salah fakta. Okay, aku rangkumkan je lah komennya. Because komennya banyak sama tapi aku rangkumkan je. Dia kan last episode kita cakap pasal peruntukan.
Kau ni nak cakap lah, nak buka baju lah mana satu di kehidupan ni.
Panai. peruntukan parlimen. So, diorang basically just cakap, korang ni cakap peruntukan parlimen tak ada untuk rakyat. Salah. Dia bukan untuk rakyat tak ada. Dia ada untuk setiap kerusi. Cuma peruntukan untuk apa pembangunan dan peruntukan untuk ahli parlimen korang kena pandai bezakan. Okay. Satulah, kita ni kadang-kadang on this show, kita selalu cakap kita nak simplify benda supaya kita tak nak terlampau complicated, nak bagi orang senang faham. So, we just want people to get the idea of it. But sometimes, we might be guilty of oversimplifying things. Kadang-kadang kita mungkin tak terang dengan
jelas
ataupun sedalam yang kita ni lah. We just want people to get the idea, right? Tapi yang orang cakap pasal peruntukan parlimen dua benda berbeza ni, dia betul dan juga salah. I still stand by my point.
Okay.
Kita kena faham, kalau kita cakap pasal peruntukan parlimen, dia ada 4 kategori. Pembangunan, geran dan juga dermaan, peruntukan untuk pusat khidmat ahli parlimen, dan yang keempat adalah additional allocation, peruntukan tambahan, ini untuk MP Sabah dan Sarawak. So, peruntukan tambahan ni kita tolak tepi dululah sebab kita ambil majority. So, kita ambil 3. So, development ni, kalau ikutkan at least as at 2021, nilai dia RM2 juta. Grant dan donation, nilai dia RM1.5 juta. So, RM3.5 juta. And peruntukan untuk pusat khidmat ahli parlimen adalah RM300,000. On top of that, kalau kau MP Sabah dan Sarawak, kau ada RM500,000. Okay? Yang boleh diperolehi oleh ahli parlimen kerajaan, semua. 4. So that comes to about 3.5 juta campur tu lebih kurang 3.9 juta campur kalau kau Borneo lebih kurang 4 juta.
Itu untuk berapa lama tu punya period?
Setahun ke satu term tak silap aku. Okay. Tapi tak kisah. Setahun. Alright. Yang pembangkang sahaja boleh dapat hanyalah 100,000 untuk development dan juga grant dan donation. Kalau kerajaan, development, grant dan donation ni jumlah dia 3.5 juta. Kalau pembangkang, jumlah dia 100 ribu sahaja.
Besar gila gap okay. Dia.
So, yang banyak kita bincang dan debate ni adalah yang 300 ribu tu untuk Pusat Khidmat Ahli Parlimen. So, ramai orang cakap, eh mana ada rakyat kat parlimen tu tak dapat duit? Kau ni kena belajar fakta. The thing is, tak semua pembangkang dapat sama macam kerajaan. Beza dia juta-juta. Okay? So kalau kau nak cakap pasal Pusat Khidmat Ahli Parlimen punya allowance tu yang dia dapat atau boleh tak dapat, boleh apply tu, 300 ribu, dia kata lah 300 ribu je. 300 ribu is still money. Banyak program yang boleh dibuat.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, pada aku, kenapa this part of the peruntukan kau nak kena nego, kau nak kena minta, kau nak kena apply, kenapa tak semua kerusi parlimen dan semua termasuk semua Pusat Khidmat Ahli Parlimen, pembangkang dan kerajaan dapat? So I still stand by my point. Kalau kau kata nak kata peruntukan untuk rakyat tu masih lagi ada, tapi peruntukan untuk ahli parlimen je tak ada. Yes, peruntukan ahli parlimen tu pun patut ada untuk pembangkang. So peruntukan untuk Pusat Khidmat tu, duit tu nak dipakai kepada mana lagi selain daripada untuk khidmat-khidmat rakyat di parlimen tersebut. Even PM pun baru ni ada cakap, oh ya, ini benda ni kita boleh apply sebab kita tak nak bagi automatic approval sebab nanti takut ahli parlimen pembangkang pergi kenduri pakai duit ni bagi. So kita jadi rasuah. So kita nak elakkan. So itu alasan yang dipakai lah. So my question is simple. Adakah semua ahli parlimen pembangkang automatically kau assume mungkin akan rasuah pakai duit ni? And if yes, kenapa kau tak assume semua ahli parlimen pembangkang kerajaan pun tak ada possibility benda tu? Kenapa dia orang tiba-tiba automatically dikecualikan daripada persepsi itu? Pembangkang sahaja yang kena kaji kenapa takut rasuah, kerajaan automatic dapat. So, yes, at the end of the day, betul peruntukan ahli parlimen lain, peruntukan rakyat lain, kerusi-kerusi pembangkang pun ada project development di kawasan itu, tapi dia orang juga patut dapat peruntukan yang sama termasuk peruntukan khidmat parlimen macam ahli parlimen kerajaan because it's fair. It's fair, that's it. And the money pun akan digunapakai mostly if not all untuk rakyat juga.
Yeah.
So I still stand by my point. Sorry, I think the government should do better.
Yeah. Aku senang je, benda tu simple je. Dia apa kesan kepada rakyat pada akhirnya. Aku tak suka kalau jurang tu dijurangkan lagi dengan perkara-perkara seperti ini. Aku memang disagree. Yeah.
And dia orang melalui benda ni dulu kot. Dia orang melalui tak ada peruntukan. So you they should know of pain. All people, right? Yeah. Jangan buat benda yang sama.
Exactly. Tu aku cakap di episode lepas, rakyat Malaysia dah nampak semua karakter ahli politik.
Betul.
Sekarang, so next election is going to be mother-father.
Mother-father of it.
Sorry guys, so, kalau aku tak setuju, aku... Yeah. Sorry, I still stand by my point. Aku tak setuju.
Alright, itu antara komen yang kita rangkumkan untuk episod lepas. Tak nak baca panjang, kita kata panjang sangat baca.
Okay. Intro panjang.
Kita move lah, kita move. Okay, yang kita nak move ni... untuk apa yang kita akan laksanakan bersama dengan audio siar. Podcast ni audio siar tau.
So, audio siar dalam bahasa Melayu, audio siar.
Audio siar, lain-lain di Malaysia ini, iaitu pada bulan 2, insyaAllah, awal bulan 2, mungkin 3 bulan lebih kurang. Nanti kita dapat tarikh.
3 atau 4 bulan 2, tak silap aku.
Okay. Nama dia adalah KL Pod Fest. Ya, festival yang menghimpunkan kesemua podcast-podcast di Malaysia ini, tak semualah, yang majority lah, yang terbesar dan sebagainya, kita pun ada juga. So dan kita akan ada di PJ Pack
yang dekat OU tu.
Ya, dekat warna utama. So di situlah akan ada pelbagai program lah, kita akan buat vendor semua ada, dan ada rakaman langsung, audience boleh pergi dan sebagainya. Banyak lagi nanti, apa dia punya nama Instagram ni kita dah buat ni,
akan KL Podfest. So korang boleh search,
Instagram KL Podfest, di social media semua ada KL Podfest.
Yeah.
Kat situ ada banyak announcement kita akan buat time to time lah. Bukan kita lah, ini adalah kerjasama dengan Keluar Sekejap dan juga Tiba sebagai junior partner, dan juga of course lah podcast-podcast yang lain juga. So ini adalah untuk mengketengahkan lagi podcast industri di Malaysia ini, dan kenapa kena berikan tumpuan kepada podcast ni. Ini penting sekali sebab relatively podcast agak baru di Malaysia berbanding dengan gaji kan. Tak payah bagi US apa semua, gaji kan, Indonesia is very huge market. So kita kena ketengahkan dan juga more advertisement dan juga more exposure juga.
Datang lah, guys. So everyone will be there. Keluar Sekejap akan headline dan kita akan menyusuli. So kita akan ada Financial Faiz, kita ada Genie Boy, kita ada TTYL.
Yes.
Malam Seram, Okay Let's Go. Member kita ada.
Yeah.
Mr. Money TV pernah jadi guest kita juga. Dan macam-macam lagi yang kita sedang usahakan. So kita nak kumpulkan semua podcast dalam Malaysia dan juga Singapura dan Indonesia di satu tempat. So korang boleh pergi.
Serantau lah, bukanlah
Serantau KL Podcast
tu. Itu macam dah apa
level.
Nusantara Podcast.
Sima level.
Yeah. So be there. Nanti kita akan, in fact, as of recording ni, Recording ni kita buat, aku bagi tahu lah, kita buat pada hari, hari apa? Rabu lah.
Hari Rabu.
Hari Rabu. So sidang media untuk mengumumkan tarikh dan detail akan buat esok. So Khamis, kita akan ada kat situ Khamis. Dan I think by the time this airs, nanti korang dah tahulah, kita akan share dekat social media kita macam nak beli tiket apa semua. Dan tiket tu murmur je, murmur je, Rahmah, Rahmah kau-kau. Dan dia akan ada beberapa jenis tiket lah. So ada juga tiket yang kau beli, kau bayar, and then kau boleh tengok apa-apa show saja sepanjang 2 hari tu. So podcast ni semua kita akan buat kalau, recording live dekat situ.
Kalau you guys bayar extra, dapat jumpa Dani. Bayar extra lebih sikit, dapat jumpa Luke.
Nak selfie harga lain. Oh gitu.
Tapi nak jumpa kita bayar,
tak lah, tunggu gua
RM20 lah. Jumpa dia. So dekat PJ Pack untuk 2 hari. So kita ada macam-macam genre,
2 hari.
Dan kita excited lah sebab ini adalah yang pertama seumpamanya di Malaysia.
And exciting sebab sebagai seorang pendengar, Chief, bekas pendengar tiba. Korang ada bincang benda ni masa korang collab dengan KJ hari tu, KS hari tu. So it's so nice to see that's finally materialized.
That's actually lepas episode tu baru you got to know the whole idea kan, nak buat KL Podfest di utara kan. Dan kita work terus
masa tu cakap-cakap begitu je kan.
Tapi yang banyak buat kerja Luqman apa semua, pasal aku ni busy orangnya. Tiba justify tak lah, banyak kerja desk apa semua lah. Tapi Luqman dan juga dulu Ibrahim lah, dia banyak-banyak dan apa semua kerja dan sebagainya.
Rindu.
So itulah cerita dia.
So thank you Luke for doing all
kita
the
dah move on, kita dah move on. Aku masih dapat text tau, orang kata macam mana Yem, mana Yem, korang ni kalau tengok tiba korang dah tahu dah patutnya.
Ke nak jemput Yem sebagai tetamu lagi. Ni masa podcast fest, podcast fest
bayar
nanti
nak keluar
tengok
bayar bro,
orang rindu sangat kat dia. Anda tahu
anyway, cakap pasal pod fest apa semua ni, berita baik untuk tiba juga.
Nani, kita silakan. kita nak berkempen. Selalu ni kita cover je orang berkempen, kali ni kita berkempen.
Tengok meyakinkan
tak, meyakinkan ke tidak. So ada satu award ni nama dia Shock Anugerah, Shock Anugerah Podcast 2023.
Steady.
So sekarang ni kita orang dinominated lah finalist, dan kita di bawah kategori apa
best, kita panggil best independent.
Favorite Shock Favorite Independent podcast. Sebenarnya kita compete dengan nama besar-besar jugalah. Yang
ada KS
yang
juga.
Sebut tadi semua ada.
Ada KS, ada ramai-ramai dalam tu.
Jadi kita nak jemput lah anda. Bukan jemput.
Aku suruh aku suruh diorang tarik diri lah.
Tarik diri lah. Dengan terhormatnya.
So bagi kita bertanding dekat kursi tu.
Jadi sila undilah kami.
Undilah kita nak masukkan video, nanti akan masukkan video ni macam mana nak undi, klik seorang boleh undi 5 kali sehari. Jadi kena amalan selepas subuh tu 5 kali undi setiap untuk tiba.
Kita sehari undi 5 kali.
Dari dulu pun kita cakap, even until now pun kita cakap kita buat benda ni sebagai hobi,
our passion.
Dan kita tak pernah jangka dan sangka that one day dan tak lama pun, beberapa bulan je kita buat benda ni, kita
6-7 bulan
kita berdiri sama tinggi dan duduk sama rendah dengan podcast-podcast yang jauh lebih terror ni. Takut yang ada star-star.
I don't feel pada tahap tu lagi, aku rasa
tapi alhamdulillah because of your support, yang follow, yang subscribe, yang share, yang like dan sebagainya. So tak tolonglah continue to do that. Passing lah kat mana-mana pun, kalau dalam grup WhatsApp makcik pun tak kisahlah kan, kalau grup WhatsApp apartment ke taman perumahan ke,
so ahli kariah ke,
ahli kariah makcik semua, daripada
AJK Surau kan,
hantar-hantar stiker selamat pagi hantarlah link untuk vote kami
di samping-samping korang pas-pas video conspiracy theory dengan soundbite terbaru ahli politik yang deepfake. Kau bagi je lah tiba sekali apa salahnya kan.
So kau memang dari tadi bekal bag tu yang kau suka betul kan.
So thank you very much, kita tak pernah jangka dan we will continue to do the best that we can,
insyaAllah. Tapi tak apalah, kalau I mean, kita of course we wanna win, tapi kita faham cabaran itu besar dan to be nominated
pun the best on that. Tapi silap, sebenarnya dia adalah betul-betul the best independent podcast.
Aku sebut
so
tadi,
favorite
kan?
I mean It's more intimidating lah than favorite. Favorite tu macam semua orang boleh favorite, tapi ni best you all.
Best. So you guys undi, aku dah menjalankan part aku, minta kawan-kawan undi apa semua lah. Aku tak jasa. Of course lah, kita kena campaign macam tu lah, memang mulut-mulut kan, untuk beritahu undi. InsyaAllah lah, kalau ada rezeki menang lah, kalau tak apa, orang lain pun tak apa, kita meraihkan. Again, sebab tu ada KL Podfest yang kita meraihkan. Siapa menang sekalipun kita raihkan. Okay,
ons.
Alright,
right now it's on to the show. Okay, let's go.
Okay, kita berhenti seketika. Selepas ni kita bawakan tetamu kita.
Oh, Wow, okay, bertemu kembali dalam Tiba dan kita bersama-sama dengan tetamu kita hari ini. I think korang dah boleh
penuh
guess lah
siapa.
Penuh lah, sis memang masih lagi teruja. Hey. Saya rasa jika anda seorang wanita, tapi kalau anda tidak perlu menjadi wanita untuk mengenali siapakah Christy Ng. So kita bersama dengan Christy Ng hari ini. Hi Christy.
Woo. Hi, hello, hi guys.
Thank you so much for
hosting us.
Being her. Yes, yeah. You are actually hosting us. Kita orang memang macam invade dan hijack you punya office. Hmm. And I love how messy this is.
Oh, sebelum you guys datang kan, I bimbang tau. I told Lokman, I say, office saya sangat teruk tau. Very, very dirty, very messy. He said, I don't care, don't care. Natural, natural.
Nampak lah you tengah bekerja. Yeah. The work yeah. ni.
Dan inilah kreatif. Otak-otak kreatif memang macam ni.
Tak apa, nanti kita akan ambil sikit visual. Kita tampal.
Banyak
because you guys don't see it. Dekat atas lantai ni ada 1,000 yeah. handbag.
Like kalau aku rasa kalau kakak aku datang ni memang...
Dia macam, jual tak jual tak jual tak.
Ni any of this yang design tak boleh tunjuk lagi, yang top secret lagi.
Okay, nanti kita boleh tunjukkan.
Okay.
So you guys took like maybe 1 hour to clear the mess. So before we shoot here, they were clearing this, clearing
that. Oh, serious? It was even
it was
worse lah.
And then you guys also again one more round. You all moved the TV and everything. It was even messier.
There's a big
this.
TV to the atas meja ni.
Wow. Yeah, but thank you so much for having us here today. So hari ni sebenarnya kita nak borak-borak je. Nothing much. But tapi kita memang nak tahulah. Siapa Christy Ng ni? Sebab I pernah dengar before this, you ada bagi interview, pernah baca mengenai Christy Ng sendiri. Christy Ng datang, sebenarnya Christy Ng datang daripada kampung di Keluang. Sebab I lahir di Keluang.
Really?
Yes, walaupun I tak ada kaitan dengan Keluang Johor. Yeah. Tapi I was born there. So I know how small Keluang town is.
Yes.
So wow, look at you now. So mungkin boleh share dengan kami semua your upbringing macam mana, sekolah kat mana dulu, macam mana boleh jadi macam sekarang ni?
Saya rasa Christy sangat very lucky in some ways. Sebab kalau if I were to just study in Keluang and continue living there, I may not have this opportunity lah. So at a very young age, my keluarga Christy dah pindah dari Keluang to PJ. So saya bersekolah dekat PJ. Because Keluang, because Keluang kan, most of the, like my cousins and my relatives, right, they can't speak English.
Okay. Malay kan?
Maybe
sikit-sikit lah.
Can but not fantastic lah. So I think education in Klang Valley, I mean the exposure is a lot better. So I guess I'm very lucky sebab I studied here, so the had more exposure at a young age. Yeah. So I think I'm very how I started this business. My life story actually nothing that interesting, but my father is a aircon man. So aircon man means he cuci aircon for a living, yeah. So one aircon he cuci, he charged like 50 ringgit, 60 ringgit, you know, and my mom is a housewife. So I come from like I would say it's not easy lah, struggling lah, you know. Money wasn't something that jatuh dari langit lah, you know, we had to struggle lah, bersusah-susah lah sejak kecil. So I think Christy, my first job, my first job was selling flowers dekat station LRT. Kelana Jaya LRT station.
KJ, jual bunga.
Masa umur berapa?
9 years old.
Ah, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, 9 labor. Tahun, yeah. Okay. So child labor, yes. Sebab...
Hello, ILO.
So because I think it was very tough, so it was like for pocket money. So my mother just champak me at the LRT station there and she said, okay, you have to be a salesman today, you go and draw bunga. So whoever that keluar dari LRT station, you go and serbu and then you go and ask the whoever lah to go and buy this bunga. Hentam lah, you know. So there's no script. So from 9 years old, I learned like direct sales. Approach people, muka tebal, tanya all the people that come out from the LRT station, would you like to buy my flowers and blah, blah, blah. So that's how 9 years old, I started that.
Tapi it's like, is it typical Asian mothers? But you cerita dulu, on top of that, your mother used to paksa you masuk contest.
Yes.
Cakap, no, you masuk contest ni sebab I nak duit ni.
Yeah, okay.
So, seriously.
So my mom, right, dia sebab dia suri rumah tangga, so she also needs cash. She cannot only depend on the husband to give her money, right? So she guna anak lah. So
sounded wrong. Tapi yeah, that's reality. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So dulu banyak sangat coloring contest, drawing contest. So kalau menang kan, price dia macam 500, 300.
Banyak lah, maksudnya.
It's a lot, you know. And this is like over 20 years ago punya cerita lah. So my mom say, I tak kisah, you masuk coloring contest ni. Now you berlatih dekat rumah. Ini kertas, ini pen, you pergi berlatih sekarang. Sebab I nak hantar you masuk pertandingan ni, you kena menang tau, first prize.
Sebab dah menang tak?
berlatihlah dekat rumah, berlatih
sebab
dulu.
Sebab nak menang, nak dapat duit untuk menang keluarga 500. Nak.
So you kena menang, so berlatih dekat rumah, colouring lah, drawing lah, macam-macam lah. So every time she will send me for all these colouring contests, and because yeah, so I always win.
Okay.
So dia ibu saya sedar saya pandai lukis from a young age. So she maximize whatever colouring contest dekat mana-mana, she will just hantar me there lah, you know. I think I start going colouring contest maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Wow.
Colouring contest. We go and we will sapu all the prize until the contest until all the contest organizer say to my mother,
enough lah, dia kata.
Eh, cukup lah tu. Bagi chance dekat orang lain. So she put me and my brother, two of us, increase her odds of winning. So she after school have to berlatih the colouring contest, you know. Draw Petronas Twin Tower, draw Zoo Negara, draw this, draw that. It's like in my head already, you know. It's like her latihan every day. She'd give us the drill. Oh, draw Malaysia flag, draw Tugu Negara, this one, Bunga Raya, draw National Flower, draw. So she teaches since young. So we can draw very fast.
Tapi you tak study anything on ni kan? Fashion. You study something else kan?
Yeah, I studied biotechnology and I majored in plants.
Okay.
Seed technology,
You still ingat ke what you studied?
Kau dengar kan? Daripada awal dia buka tadi, Chris kata apa tau? My life punya story ni tak interesting sangat.
How is that not interesting?
Dia ada cerita pasal kartel colour lah, apa benda, masuk ramai-ramai, biotechnology. Rare tu. But fast forward.
Tapi aku rasa itu yang bawa upbringing you, sebab you dah awal dah ada ajar, macam 9 tahun ni dah ajar direct sales. So you dah tahu semua benda-benda ni daripada
hustle
kecil.
Lah.
Hustle tu.
I think the key point dekat sini adalah muka tebal. Muka kena sangat tebal. Saya diajar prinsip, konsep bermuka tebal sejak muda. And then we will hentam all the colouring contest and rembat all the prize until the organizer say, please, Mrs. Ng, don't send your daughter. Give someone else a chance. So
then you finally stop lah.
No, she go to different contest everywhere. So she doesn't care.
Betul, yeah. Now kartel lah.
Kartel. Siap masuk ramai-ramai, increase chances. Ini semua kartel ni. Macam kartel ayam. Siut.
Okay, tapi kalau kita tengok Christy Ng, itu sejarah lah, permulaan apa semua. Sebab, this is very interesting sebab, I think I watch your video. You tunjuk video perjalanan jenama Christy Ng tu, you jual di rumah lebih dulu kan, lepas tu ada pasar malam dan sebagainya. Nantilah kat mana sekarang kita nampak Christy Ng dekat mall dan sebagainya. Let's start story tu, sebab mungkin tak ramai orang tahu kan. You start jual di rumah dan sebagainya. Macam mana idea nak jual kasut ni, sebab you belajar biotech
dan you bekerja makan gaji kan sebelum you
Saya bekerja di sebuah syarikat pharmaceutical. So lepas saya graduate, so saya pergi apply job lah dekat it's a Swiss pharmaceutical company. Hentam sajalah, you know. That time no clue, clueless lah. Bila kita baru grad kan, semuanya clueless punya lah, tak ada arah punya. Itu perkara biasa.
Janji ada kerja lah.
Janji ada kerja cukup lah, boleh makan, boleh bayar minyak kereta. That's all you're thinking. Survive only. Don't think too much, you know. So I guess I think how I started selling shoes itu is like, I would say it's also by chance. I got this opportunity to sell shoes. So it started lepas SPM. So all my friends, they pergi cuti lah, you know, one whole group of classmates. So they orang pergi Thailand. So waktu tu saya tak pernah keluar negara tau. I never been overseas before. So I say, boleh tak I ikut you guys? So I follow my friend, I go make passport. Then I follow my friend go Thailand. And then we drove down, cause got license, right? Cheapest way, you know, like don't know how many people jam in one masuk satu kereta and then just drive all the way to Bukit Kayu Hitam. So that was my first trip overseas. So then I was like, I was walking around in like those market. It's like a market, like that wholesale market. Then I stumbled upon a shoe wholesale. So I asked, the shoes were so pretty and sangat cantik. So I said, berapa satu pasang? That time during my time, right, the exchange rate is 1 ringgit to 10 baht.
Yeah.
The time when I was in Thailand. So sepasang kasut hanya 100 baht. So 10 ringgit, wow.
10 ringgit.
High heel shoe, no. 4-inch, 10 ringgit is so cheap.
Quality,
you know?
Lah. Not like...
I won't say it's the best quality, but boleh tahan lah. Okay lah, boleh pakai like few months, like that. It's good enough already, right? So then, the time I was just a student. I can't afford much. So I just buy like, wow, 10 ringgit. So I took 100 ringgit, I buy 10 pairs. cause murah. Mm-hmm. So so bila I balik dekat KL, I pakai, semua kawan saya puji I. Say, wow, Christy kasut you sangat cantik. You beli dekat mana? Because it, you can, they cannot find the same design in the shopping mall that time. So I say, I beli dekat Thailand. Then say, boleh tak you tolong belikan? So I startnya, I jadi PS, personal shopper. Wow. Untuk semua kawan saya, nak ni, nak itu. So it came to a point that all my friends, they want to check out, I trust your taste lah. I give you 100 ringgit, you hentam whatever you want, the design you choose. This is my size, 38, you go and buy for me. So it became like all my friends, they trust me, they let me just hentam and chinchai choose for them. So that's how I started selling shoes to friends first.
So ni lepas SPM?
Lepas SPM.
Tahun bila tu eh? Kurang?
Ya, lebih kantor.
Kantor lah. Tahu lah. Tak, I nak tahu masa tu sebab
macam soalan kan.
Tahu ni background zaman.
Sebab zaman tu, sebab I pun ada juga my meniaga-meniaga. So, tapi zaman tu zaman Blogspot.
Ah, ya, ya, ya. Zaman Blogspot, yes.
Early 2000.
I think the meeting how many years ago lah.
Okay. Yelah, sebab memang jual barang semua masa tu pakai Blogspot tau.
I guna calculator.
So, it wasn't as easy as...
You kira sekarang.
Okay. 2023, tolak 18 tahun dulu.
18 tahun.
2005.
2005.
2005. That's the year I started going Thailand.
Okay.
When I was 18 years old.
Right.
So I start going, then I buy, I sell, then lepas tu makin ramai orang looking for me, call, to get my number, friends or friends. So then I was still studying. So I will go to Thailand every weekend with my friend.
Belikan orang lah.
Yeah, and then I bring a big van which I borrow from my friend. Okay, and then I take all the stocks and then I smuggle lah. Smuggle means curi-curi bring
seludup,
in lah.
Seludup.
Okay. Seludup kasut masuk. So every time I drive past the border, the custom look at me, I smile. Huh, smile.
Comel.
Hi abang. Like that. Then the abang will let me go on. So I learned how to be, must be very polite to people. Then people will let you go. So tak checking tau. Then you say, oh, beli apa? Banyak ni barang. Yelah, suka shopping, murah. And then let me go. Because by right, you can only buy for personal. Yeah. You cannot buy and sell. But you know, sometimes people not so strict. Yeah. So I salute up all the kasut masuk since 18 years old. So I would, after that, I was doing so much seludup, right? Until become quite famous, everyone know. So then I start to sell pasar malam because what is the cheapest way to sell shoe? And then I never apply license, you know. I just hentam. I take a kain like that, waterproof kain. I hentam on the lantai, hentam all the shoe and just sell pasar malam.
Pasar malam? Dekat dengan rumah ke apa?
Dekat rumah lah. A few pasar malam I sell. So I never pay license anything. I just hentam.
Jav, this is the shoes yang you dapat daripada Thailand?
Thailand,
yes.
Tu.
Okay.
That's my pasar malam.
Betul lah. Memang betul lah. Kena kulit tebal.
So banyak lah untung.
I didn't know sewa. Then just hentam lah. If authorities come, then pack and run lah. Lari lah.
Wow. Really? So benda ni normal lah.
That happened before?
So far, before if happened, I will run. No?
Oh. So banyak kali jadilah.
Actually, if you kena, so you just say you don't know and then you say sorry. You
banyak pengakuan malam ni.
Actually, I feel that if you say sorry and then they see you really trying to make a living,
genuine,
they won't just simply fine you lah. Boleh bawa bincang punya.
Right.
You just
right.
Say, I'm sorry, I'm just selling some shoes. I didn't know. And just, because I really didn't know. 18 years old, what rubbish. You have totally brainless when 18 years old.
Yeah.
So I just hentam, sell pasar malam. Then I even berniaga boot kereta. So got, I just, no business license, nothing. Just campak all the kasut in my car boot. Park in Bukit Bintang. Bukit Bintang, middle of the night. I go and sell shoe there.
Middle of the night? Yeah. You tak takut lah?
No, tak takut. Because very happening. Because Bukit Bintang, a lot of bars, a lot of clubs, everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So I feel well, those people that come out of the club, they mabuk already, right? They cannot see very clearly. They just buy. So I ambil kesempatan.
So at this time, masa ni, you still kerja lagi dengan pharmaceutical ke? You buat part time ke? You dah quit lah?
Okay, waktu tu, I was in university. I was still studying. So this is how I was doing. I was parking in front of Bukit Bintang. And then I go and draw lah. To all the orang mabuk that come up from the club malam, all this kind of stuff.
So maksudnya lepas you habis study, you kerja tu, you masih menjual kasut juga pada masa yang sama walaupun you kerja dengan farmasi tu?
Yes. So waktu saya study, I was selling shoes in like my boot kereta, pasar malam and also the Curve flea market. Last time the Curve, they have a weekend flea market.
Yeah, I'm there.
It's like, say 100 ringgit for one day, I remember. Wow. So I will go there, I will pasang my boot. That one is legal one lah, because in the shopping mall pay sewa. Then I slowly lah upgrade daripada boot creator pasang malam upgrade to Curve shopping mall flea market.
Tapi sepanjang tu memang you tak buat online langsung?
Oh, belum lagi. Oh, wow. Belum lagi. Haven't yet. Haven't yet. So this is just trading, buy, sell, buy, sell. Mm. So waktu I dekat uni pun sama. Then waktu, then after that, when I graduate from university, I got my first job in 2010. Mm-hmm. First job. Mm-hmm. So I first job, I have to focus lah, you know. Because selling shoes, you have to carry, is very heavy. Mm-hmm. So very fast tired. And then, you know, raining, you have to like run for, because got hujan and everything. So then I started, I took a break for a while. Then my friend said to me, hey, why you stop selling shoes? I mean, you love it, right? I said, yeah, I love it, but I have to focus on my day job. Then my friend said, hey, why don't you sell on Facebook? Because at the time, Facebook is very new, 2010. So I booked an account on Facebook. Then I hentam only, like, I just use my camera, I snap picture of all my shoes. Then I letak gambar dekat Facebook tau. Then I put my phone number. Whole world can see one. Then you know, order, you call my number. So I started getting calls, you know. Meet up lah in like tepi jalan lah, mamak store lah, LRT station lah, you know.
Ini macam nak jual dadah ni. Macam me at the car park at
1 AM.
Takut dengar.
So my first customer, I remember, meet me in McDonald's Center Point, 12 midnight. Wow. I go ni. McDonald's Center Point, I don't think
dia
can.
Dia buka-buka tebal, dia berani je lah macam ni.
And then yeah, so I then after that I was like, I was working. So I got no time to then meet at LRT station, meet here, meet there. So that was the time I told my mom, you go and send the kasut here and there. So my mother will go meet those people everywhere.
Yeah. Now, kau you can imagine masa kecil mana kata macam, you masuk kontes ni, masuk kontes ni, dah besar. You hantar kasut ni.
Yeah,
okay. The table has turned.
Macam mana you daripada situ, from that point, terus, okay, I nak buka I punya own brand, I want to launch my own brand. So, apa jadi kat situ?
Okay, so, one day, I tengah borak with my friend, 3 a.m. in a badminton court near my house. Okay. Last time, a lot of energy until 3-4 a.m. in the badminton court, chilling with friend, sembang, borak in badminton court. Okay, so my friend said to me, "Hey, you since you pandai lukis, you like to draw, you like to design. Why don't you do your own design instead of buying and selling shoes from Thailand? Because before that, it's trading, ma. You buy and then you sell. So I said, hey, good idea. So, but what do I call my brand? Then my friend say, you lukis, right? Put your name lah. I say, my name Christina Ng, very long. I cut short lah, Christy Ng. Cut it short. So it's like a damn random, dumbish idea in the middle of badminton court, 3 a.m. in Taman Mega, with a bunch of youngsters, don't want to go back home, cannot tido, those kind. So I said, okay lah, maybe I do my own drawing and I come up with my own design. I said, who's going to make the shoe for me? Hey, dulu you banyak kawan kan dekat Thailand, cari lah orang yang dulu tu, yang supply dekat you. You minta dia buat lah. Oh yeah, good idea. Because that time my otak tak fungsi one. I just listen to what friends say. So then after that, because I had banyak tahun jual dekat pasar malam here, so I know what customers like. So I from what I know from my conversations with customer, what I taught, what they like, I come up with my own designs. Then I went to the person who was supplying me before, and I got the factory to produce for me my first batch of shoes. So that's how I started. If I didn't plan, I tak plan pun nak. You know, be a business person or entrepreneur. I just buat saja because my friend say this is a good idea, so I just do.
Masa like, tu berapa capital you ingat tak?
Less than 10,000.
Wow.
You keluar sendiri lah, you punya duit sendiri ke apa?
From my selling in the pasar malam and the book writer got saving ma.
Yeah, your friends mana ni? Diorang usahawan juga ke ataupun diorang ada day job ke apa yang bagi you advice ni? Seems that diorang punya idea tu banyak juga.
Just friends lah.
Friends lah. Some of them are doing business now. Some of them are just normal people, but they just got idea. So hentam. You know, we tikam. We got idea. We tikam. Some get, some don't get. We all were just like young people with clueless lah. Clueless bunch of people, but we did talk about ideas. And I guess I was foolish, bodoh or like never think enough, just go and do.
Yeah, no. To me, I rasa the lesson Christy yang paling best ni adalah dia just macam just do it. You know, go get the attitude and kau. Yang aku rasa memang sangat penting untuk siapa-siapa yang nak jadi usahawan, want to be entrepreneurs kan. Keusahawanan ni nanti kita akan discuss sekejap aja lagi. But I think your story ni, the key takeaway is that. Lesson dia is, if kau nak buat business, kau buat je. I mean, you take risk, don't be afraid, tebal muka, buat je. Because ramai orang cakap pasal nak do business now, right?
Yeah. I think the key attitude is lantak, just do. So I tak fikir, the more you think, the more you won't do. So just don't think too much. Hentam saja. But of course, don't hentam until your whole family suffer or this thing. No lah, you know. Yeah. You hentam whatever you can afford to lose. So that time...
Calculated risk juga lah yang ambil lah. Tak adalah hentam.
I won't say it's Judy. Because Judy, you totally gamble. Lah. This one, I take my saving, 10,000 ringgit. I go and see. I've been selling shoes already. I had some experience in all this pasar malam everything. So I took the 10,000 saving. I go and make a first batch of shoes. Go and test. So if I burn, I lost 10,000. But I won't die because I still got a day job, you know.
Yeah.
So I took 10,000. Then I go and sell. And I take picture on Facebook. Take picture, post on Facebook. Then everyone start calling and buy and buy and buy and buy. And I said, after in less than a few weeks, I clear my whole collection. I go back my whole capital already and I earn with profit.
Wow. So
within weeks. The time dulu kan, Facebook tak banyak orang. And I mean, not to say tak banyak orang. Baru. So you post one picture, whole world can see one. Now you post, no one see.
Yes.
Now the algorithm is, you know, you have to pay money. Dulu kan, siapa, you just, it's like TikTok when it first started, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every video also the views very high. Now, too, it's very cluttered. A lot of people posting. So your views and your engagement become very low. So I guess I was like a first mover. And that gave me the, I'll talk more about this later lah. Being a first mover in like, selling on TikTok or selling on website. I think my because I was early to Facebook, so I rode the wave up. So I just because I was, there's not many brands on Facebook back in 2012. Hardly any.
Yeah, yeah.
I was one of the few people who like don't know what I'm doing because I got no money bukat kedai. So Facebook is free. So I just take picture, I post. After that I found you can advertise or dulu kan the Facebook you put 10 ringgit, oh my god, your post can be 100,000 views.
Now it's like expensive really.
Now no such thing.
But before that, ramai orang yang nak buat business ni, I mean they start part time dulu macam what you did, right? And then ramai orang yang takut nak make the leap from makan gaji to full entrepreneurship, buat business. How was that like for you? Daripada makan gaji, job yang I'm sure quite well paying for pharmaceutical company.
Yeah,
not
very
bad.
Very good pay.
So So macam mana you lompat tu, and how did you find the courage, and macam mana you, what's your advice to people about macam tu?
It's not an easy transition. It's definitely very difficult. But because my business, I had sales already. But at the point of resigning from my day job, my sales every month is consistently more than 30,000 ringgit.
So bukan consistent. Macam sekarang ni, janganlah macam terus nak quit and then just leave everything buat business baru daripada scratch. That's not how to do it, right? Jangan buat macam tu.
I wouldn't say it's wrong because I have many friends who do it that way. But for me, because I don't have a rich father, you know, I'm not keluarga have. My father is not some rich man or datuk or Tan Sri. You know, I'm not orang have, you know. So when I do it, I have to be very careful because if I lose my capital, I'm gone. I don't have like a inheritance to go back to. So I'm very careful. But if you are in a position where, you know, your family can, you know, you don't have to pay for house, you don't have to pay for very heavy commitment, then yes, you can quit your day job and try to do business because you don't have a lot of commitment. But that time I guess because I don't have rich. If your father is rich, if your family is don't need
to support you lah financially. Yeah,
ada backup lah.
Tapi your family, what did they say bila you kata okay lah, I nak berhenti nak buat business? Dia orang okay ke?
I would say that at first dia orang macam takut juga sebab they know business is very hard. So my parents, I guess dia orang tu bukannya tak agree ke or support or what? I would say they were like, they've seen so many businesses fail. So what you expect them to say to me? And I was very young and I have no experience in business. I don't even know how to do accounts. I don't know what is LHDN or so, you know, when I start my business. No clue. Debit and credit also, I don't know what's the difference last time. And I would say I'm too raw, like totally blank. Don't know anything at all. So I guess that was their concern. And I don't come from fashion industry. I couldn't speak Mandarin before that. You know, because we do a lot of sourcing, we source from China. So I'm a China sesat tau. My Mandarin is like failure. And then because when I say Mandarin is because when you do fashion business, you have to buy a lot of raw materials. And all this raw mat comes from China.
Yeah,
and the language is Mandarin. I couldn't speak Mandarin. I never been to China also that time before in my life. I don't know how to source. I don't know how to, I don't know finance. I don't know marketing. I don't know anything. So I guess they were worried because they feel that I cannot bersaing. Tak ada daya saing. Like, sure hancho. Which I think is fair. So I wouldn't say that they were strongly against, but I wouldn't say they were very supportive. So they were like, I think maybe in the head you're thinking like, dia buat satu tahun then bye bye lah, maybe just main-main and then still young can always get a job later mah. So I guess they will not. But my mother, you know, she when I ask her, okay, go here, go there, go LRT station, pergi sini, pergi sana, she will listen lah.
You rasa you anak derhaka?
You asking your ni,
asking your parents, your mom to work for you.
Mesti lah, you upah tak? You upah ke your mom? Ke macam kasih sayang je?
She got some salary lah.
Okay lah,
But if my sales that month bad, then no salary.
Okay,
still
so
like business is business lah kan.
But satu lagi cerita pasal orang nak buat business ni. I mean satu concernnya is like what I said just now lah. I mean dia nak move from a very secure makan gaji to buat business. So ramai orang takut tu and then that becomes an obstacle, tak jadi buat. The other thing is the common alasan yang you dengar adalah semua business ni orang dah buat, semua orang dah buat. There's nothing that is hasn't been done anymore. Business ni dah ada orang buat, business ni ada orang buat. So aku nak masuk kat mana pun tak tahu. But you entered into a field yang already very saturated, you know,
red ocean.
What do you say to these people yang nak buat business tapi alah aku tak tahu nak masuk apa lah because semua orang dah buat semua.
That's true. Actually, everything, there's nothing totally new or fresh in this world already. I'm selling shoes and bags. It's a red ocean. So when I first opened my first store in Wan Utama in 2016, my store is right next to a competitor, public listed shoe and handbag company, and they're selling 1/3 of my price. So everyone say, confirm Christy Mati. Because I opened next to an incumbent, which is public listed, and their price is 1/3 of mine. Okay. All my relatives, all the auntie, uncle, all these people tell my parents, confirm your anak going to like bungkus lah. But no, what I would say is like how we survive is we give customers choice. Because the customer is king, the consumer, whether you survive or you die right in business, it all is in the hands of your customer. If your customer feel that your product offers them something that they cannot get from somewhere else. Okay, I know you look at shoe, you think everything is shoe. You look at bag, all bag is the same. But it's how the customer value your product that you're selling. So like, my motto is berkualiti tinggi, berjiwa rakyat. So I think customers...
You're a politician, huh?
Indi lah, Christy Ng.
Yeah. So I think my customers, they love to buy our brands about harga murmur, okay? Tapi the quality that you're getting macam brand berjenama antarabangsa. So you can actually compare my quality, my stitching, my material. So customers, they are very good at judging. They know how to value, they know how to touch, they know this is cheap or expensive. So I guess even though I was next to a public listed competitor who is 3 times cheaper than me, they felt my quality is a lot better. So not everyone go for cheap. There's a lot of customer yang nak cari berkualiti tinggi. They don't mind paying a bit more, like 50 ringgit more, 60 ringgit more. They don't care. They want quality and they want comfortable. So I guess why I stood the test of time, been doing business for more than a decade already, is because my kasut very comfortable, selesa. So what my customers selalu bagi tahu saya adalah kasut Christy tu sangat selesa. Okay, kaki macam gajah pakai tak rasa sakit pun. Then, you know, because Malaysian women, we have a bunion on our feet. So I have bunion on my feet, very, very big bunion. So this is a personal experience.
Bunion tu apa?
Bunion is
yang terkeluar ni.
Yang terkeluar tu.
Bunion macam.
Okay.
So every time kalau Christy pakai kasut yang buatan China kan, or those like ready to wear shoes in the mall.
Sakit,
kulit mengelupas. And after that, one day I had a corn grow at the sole of my feet. A corn is like a, you know, it's a corn. Dia macam
apa?
Jagung.
Ketuat. apa ketuat eh? Bukan ketuat.
It's like a corn.
Bodoh lah.
I don't know how to say. Dia macam
dia macam sakit lah. Sakit. Ketuat lah. Dia macam blister.
Yeah.
Is it like blister?
No, it's not blister. Dia macam ingrown. Not an ingrown. Like macam ada.
It's ingrown. Dia macam. I don't know how to say.
It's called a wart.
W-A-R-T, wart. Yes. So I had a huge wart at the bottom of my left feet. Unto the size of a 50 cent coin.
Wow.
And I walk really something wrong the way I walk. Because the corn grew so big until 50 cent coin. So I went and see a doctor. Then the doctor had to surgically remove the corn. Then he said to me, young lady, I don't know what shoes you're wearing. It's destroying your feet. So I had to remove it. He took like a rod, you know, a metal rod, hot one, and it just like burned the whole thing off. Ayuh. It's so painful.
Tak ada abuse, tak ada apa, just
got
bantai.
But still feel pain.
Tapi sakit
after
lah.
That, like that, you know. So it's because of wearing very badly made shoes, then there's a lot of friction on the ball of my feet, right. And then the corn form into a 50 cent coin.
Visti memang suka pakai high heel ke apa?
Yeah, because
what is your size? What is your shoe size? Okay. 38.
Yeah. No, sorry, okay. Because kita kat sini tak pakai kasut. So bila Christy cerita, aku mesti nak tengok kaki dia. Ada yeah. Corn.
Orang yang size 38, every time kalau I pergi kedai kasut, dia punya size yang display tu ialah size 4 dan 5. Mm. I selalu kata, kenapalah kaki Cinderella? Kakak tiri Cinderella nak pakai kasut, susah.
So meaning size tu size besar ke apa? Size
kecil. Mesti display mesti size 5.
Oh, so ni macam impossible beauty standards. Yeah, 38
is about 6.5 to 7. Macam tu kan? 7.
Okay. Tapi satu lagi yang penting is I think the big lesson you mentioned tadi, OU tau. Mm. You buka you punya first brick and mortar store kedai dekat OU 2016.
Yes.
At that time, everyone was rushing to go online already. Online. You know.
In fact, you pun dah start online before that.
Oh yeah,
tapi you buck the trend, which I think is very interesting because kita cakap pasal going from makan gaji tu ni and then going into a saturated market and then online. You buck the trend. You berani buka kedai when everyone is going online.
Okay.
Why did you do that?
Okay. So I had opportunity. Christy di beri peluang. So one utama the leasing team, they very very nice girl. She called me and then she said cold call. No, they called me and then said, you know, we don't have enough of shoe brands in the mall. We would like you to come in and give our shoppers a different a different offering. From what we already have. Because in the market, only got those few brands that people know and they always buy. There's no like new up and coming.
Yeah, homegrown.
We don't, because from a landlord's perspective, right, they don't only want all the big international brands. They want a good mix. They want some small brands. They want some local brands, you know. It's about offering the consumer choice. So I think every shopping mall wants that. So I guess it was a very difficult, it's one of the top malls in the country and sangat susah nak masuk. Jarang ada empty lot. So I guess my timing was very good and they had a lot and they wanted a shoe merchant because they wanted to cluster all the shoes together to make it into a fashion category at the old wing of the mall. And then I said, I don't have money, I couldn't afford. So they nego, and they give a very hager mesra lah to a young startup. So we signed the deal and we just go. I think I wasn't thinking very much of the future or like whatever. I just had an opportunity and I just opened. I didn't have it in my business plan or like some, I did a lot of mathematics and calculate or I have no clue. They call me, I just open.
This is like very you from the start. Macam bantai je. You never really plan, you never really what.
I just asked them. The only thing I did is nego for like good price, you know, tell them I cannot afford this kind of thing lah. You know, I never, people thought like, wow, your timing damn good. No, just luck. And I just nego the price. Mm-hmm. So I started, okay, so back to the Facebook story. So when everyone started calling me and everyone knows about me and then my friend said to me, hey, why don't you do a Blogspot? Because last time, from 5, I've got all this Blogspot, put all your friends' pictures and stuff like that. So I had a domain. So I just used back the same domain, which is christyeung.com. Because I don't want to buzzer do it. Because it's cost RM30 a year last time to register. So I was still renewing it with my debit card. So I just plug in my shoe brand. I put my shoe brand Christy Ng. Then my website also Christy Ng, because I had it since I was in high school. So I just bought a .com and I just chantom together. So then my first website, of course you don't have money to do, right? I bought sendiri tau. I go research on YouTube how to design a Blogspot. Bought myself. Cause no capital. The shopping cart last time, very, 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 very lousy one. I go and add the shopping cart myself. Download the widget, go and add it in myself. Wow. Yeah, I just, at night I can don't sleep and just try to figure out how to add the shopping cart. I really DIY the whole thing cause got no money. And when you know money, it's like a proof of concept. You have to test first whether your idea can work or not. Because your idea may fail. There's always a chance you may fail. So I just do it myself, keep the cost low, test, do a POC. It's called proof of concept. So I say, wow, got people actually buying from this blog. These customers now very... I never imagine people buy, but people actually buy from my website. Wow. So, and then a lot of them say, hey, your stupid shopping cart not working. Can I just meet you tepi jalan and pay you cash? Okay lah. Jadi juga. So, I was doing customer service.
Wow. Tapi, bila dengar macam Christy buat semua sendiri ataupun sebab kita tengok banyak sebenarnya usahawan kat luar sana, dia memang samalah macam Christy. Dia zero, dia tak tahu, tak tahu tax, tak tahu semua. Bila Christy decided to actually take in people to actually work with you?
Oh, okay.
How did that happen?
That happened when I quit my day job in 2012, June. And then I decided to do this full time. That time I was already doing like 30,000 ringgit a month.
Tapi yeah. Sekarang ni, okay, I tengok lah banyak sangat usahawan yang nak sangat menjual dan sebagainya. Diorang banyak pergi tahu kelas-kelas lah apa semua ni. Dan juga ambil loan banyak apa semua. Tapi Christy macam, yelah, from your story ni, I nampak macam luck and also you do things on your own.
Strategically juga.
Strategically jugalah. Tapi yelah, macam, what are the mistakes that you have done before yang you rasa macam you nak bagi tahu orang jangan buat macam tu? Ha, sebab I pun dulu aspiring entrepreneur, tapi mati kat situ je. Macam-macam.
Sebenarnya silap lah masa tu.
Macam-macam. Jual tudung kat Blogspot, pergi bilik ke bilik masa dekat universiti dululah. Pergi ke bilik ke bilik, buat jual kerepek lah apalah. But I had the same problem as well sebab I didn't know what to do. Dia macam tak progress tau, sebab tak boleh nak progress. So I tengok zaman sekarang ni trend orang yang nak jadi usahawan, they enroll all these classes, belajar macam nak buat ni, belajar. Lepas tu, you know, sometimes dia macam dodgy tau, orang yang buat kelas-kelas ni
lah, doktor tu lah. Lepas tu tiba-tiba ada PhD palsu lah doktor tu kan.
Kan, so macam mana sebenarnya
macam merujuk kepada seorang individu lah. Tak baik lah.
Tak baik.
Anyway, benda tu lah orang ramai nak tahu. Kalau macam orang usahawan di luar sana,
betul ke capital tu macam mana? Is it okay for us to take money dulu? Minta geran, loan dan sebagainya? Atau macam mana?
Okay, so I think I actually took a lot of government grants. So in 2015, I got the Cradle CIP 500 grant, 500,000. And then in 2012, I won the Alliance Bank Bismarck Challenge. Yes. So that gave me 250 cash. So 2015, I had 500,000 from Cradle. Then in, I think in 2017 or 16, something like that, I got some grant from SME Corp as well, the BAP program, Business Acceleration Program. So I did take a lot of grants here and there. I took from MDEC also. I think I got maybe 80,000 ringgit to build my website. I took it from MDEC. So whatever government grant available, I just apply. So I just apply. I never expect to get also, but I put in the forms, I apply, and then I get it.
Yeah, sebab sekarang ni entrepreneur sekarang is like tak ada grant lah untuk kita, because people don't know that grants ni semua ada kerajaan sediakan. So actually there's a lot of grants yang orang boleh apply.
Nak kena rajin cari ke macam mana? Sebab ramai ni tak tahu. So ada juga idea katakan bahawa grant ni terlalu banyak, buat one stop center lah supaya senang usahawan nak cari dan sebagainya. But for you, you cari benda tu kan?
You just go Google, you put there grant in Malaysia, it comes out.
Terang,
banyak kan? Because biasalah orang nak buat business kan, tak ada modal lah. So then
sebenarnya ada je grant ni.
Actually you go Google, you type in now, you try grant in Malaysia. Wow. Sumpah akan keluar. So I don't know why people say cannot cari. There's Google. So I sometimes when people say they don't have or cannot find, is they never find. That's why they say cannot find. So I've seen all this kind of pattern many, many years already, especially among my friends. So I say, hey guys, Cradle got grant. Oh, don't have, like, where got grant? You go to internet, you just Google grant in Malaysia.
Jom, I nak dapat your point of view pula. Sebab ni pasal business, your journey dan sebagainya. Pasal you cakap pasal grant apa semua ni, so you've seen a lot of assistance provided by government. Tak kira lah zaman-zaman bila. But right now, current punya situation, how do you see based on your point of view government punya dasar dalam menyokong keusahawanan sendiri? Tak kira existing macam you anda satu dekad ni ataupun usahawan baru sendiri. You yourself.
I think there's a lot of there's a lot of support. Okay. Like recently I just got I'm taking loans now because my business got track record, so I qualify for bank loans. So when I compare the bank loans, the commercial interest rate is so high, you know. But the government has a lot of friendly loans for SMEs, and the interest rate is really, really good. Like example, MIDF or MBSB. The interest rate is so good. It's so really mercer, you know, like it's about 3-odd%. And if I go to like a commercial bank, they will charge me like 8 or 9%.
Oh, jauh beza.
For a clean loan.
Yeah.
Without collateral. So there's so many resources. If you go, Bank Negara has a very, very special loan with MBSB Bank. It's only 2+%. And how I know this? I Google. It's all on Google.
I nak tanya soalan, no. Why do you still have to take loan?
okay, why do I still need to take loan?
Because you got a lot of money already, business dah besar dah. Selalunya orang nak ambil loan ni nak buat business, nak start. So is it to expand or to...
Okay, okay. At the beginning stage, I don't qualify for loan. Mm-hmm. But after I after many years, I have a track record. And my company is very profitable. So I pay a lot of taxes. So the benefit of paying tax is you can get more loan. Okay. Why you must take loan? Why you should take loan? Okay. Last time when I start, I always use all my money, all my sweat and blood I use. It's very slow. Once your business model is already there, after a few years, you know already one. Whether can pakai or cannot pakai, you know it one. So my business is at Touchwood. Thank God, it's a stable stage now. Right. So the model already works. So all I need to do is scale, replicate the model. Example, I sell this handbag. This handbag laku keras. Every time I jual, guarantee habis cepat, laju gila. So what do I need to do? You know, I know I sell this product. It's going to laju gila. It's going to sell out. What do I need to do? I cannot fulfill my customer demand. Every day the customer DM me, sis, kenapa cepat sangat sold out? Blah, blah, blah. Then you know there's a response. So I need to, because I have demand, I need to have supply, right? So I just take loan. Rather than taking...
Rather taking my own money,
I take loan. Because I know if I take loan, let's say I take 100,000 loan, I pay interest of 3%. That's only 3,000 per annum. Okay? Yeah. But I take the 100,000, I sell my handbag, I already multiply my capital and I make, let's say example lah, I make 200,000, double example. Okay? Minus all my costs, my rental, my taxes, my everything lah, my salaries, everything. I still make profit and the profit is more than the 3%, than
so
the 3,000.
So duit loan tu macam parking je lah, macam tu. No. Just to like, to expand, it's more to like scale.
Yeah. Loan is not for parking because if you park, you have to pay interest and...
Banyak, betul? Yes. Maksudnya dia macam ambil, ni lepas tu bayar je lah balik.
Loan money, if your business model is stable, you can take the loan and scale. Like me, I know this product can sell. So if I use my own cash, maybe I need larat to, let's say, take out 50,000. But because I got loan, I can hentam 100,000 and go bang like that. Mm. You get what I mean? Yeah. So it's, I get to reach the market faster. I get to, because time is money. Because I use loan, I save a lot of time. I don't have to do it like slowly menabung and keep all the capital.
Dia laju lah.
Laju. Okay. Very laju with loan.
Sekarang ni, kalau kita tengok, banyak business model sekarang ni yang guna, panggil benda tu? Agent.
Dropship.
Tapi you more ke terus,
DTC, direct to consumer.
Yes, direct to consumer lah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that business model yang orang semua tengah adopt sekarang ni? You keluar brand je, you terus, kita nak recruit, blah, 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 blah. Dia tak pergi jadi retailer dan sebagainya dan direct. Dia nak recruit kaki dan sebagainya. Okay. Do you think it's a good business model?
Okay, I've seen that business model from 10 years ago until now. It's not new. Like all these MLM, all these, they have this recruitment of agents. Even insurance is sold via agents or so. Okay, what I have to say is, it is... Actually, it really depends on how you manage and how you sustain the model. Like insurance companies, that is their modus operandi. They have training department to train the agents. They have development courses. They got all these seminars to train the agent. Mm-hmm. And then they continuously help the agents to grow. And then it's very systemized. It's very, very systematic and structured really. The way they do it with agents. So I see a lot of local brands when they do these stockies in agent. Why all
founder.
They collapse in very fast. They go up very fast. They naik cepat. Tapi they collapse pun sangat cepat. It's because they don't have a system or it's not structured. They just hentam and do also one. They hentam and do and they don't have a structure for the agent. It's not systematic. And people, after a while, the agent, they don't see money, they will quit. They're not motivated. Because how to sustain agent is they need to keep making money every month. Then they can sustain in your to become your agent.
So founder-founder ni semua tak sustainable lah sebenarnya.
Dodgy lah.
Kan? Okay, I've seen a lot of dodgy ones. There's a lot of dodgy. They want to scheme cepat kaya. They just hentam all the agent and then the stockies all give the money. After that, bye-bye. Like that, tukar creator and then bye-bye. Usually, it's like that lah.
Tukar BMW, tu bye-bye.
Tukar creator. So, I guess, maybe those are not genuine entrepreneurs. So, I think it all depends on your niat lah. Are you genuine or not to do it? So, the real genuine ones, I think, I would say they can last lah. I've seen some people doing stockies and agent, they can survive. But most of it, I see maybe out of 100, I have only... 99 fail lah. Mm-hmm. After 1-2 years, bye bye one.
I think I just nak and for me lah, with this point, iaitu, I mean, your whole journey ni is all about like hustling gila-gila from pretty much all your adult life, right? Nak jadi entrepreneur, never mind entrepreneur, even kerja corporate macam kita ni pun busy. You're part of the rat race, especially if you live in KL. You get so little time dengan family you, especially women yang ada anak, ada apa, benda semua. So untuk menjadi usahawan yang berjaya, adakah memang you just have to accept that there's little time with your family? Is there a way to do it? Is there a way to kejar this so-called balance yang all this orang muda nak kejar sekarang? Or just macam you are the queen of hard truths, right? You just want to say, oh sorry, I mean there's no such thing lah.
As work-life balance that people are really chasing.
If you want to be as successful as Christy lah.
Okay, the hard truth is not nice to hear. If you want to run a business, it means that you got less time with your family. Yeah. It's a truth. Something has got to give. If you want to run a business, you have less time for everything, for your friends, for your family, for your children. You have automatically that happens to you. So you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. So when you choose it and you can't complain about it.
Ramai orang yang I assume in the early days masa tengah hustling, yes, tapi bila dah besar macam you dah senang ni then ada more time.
Yes, true? Correct. That's true. Okay. When the business gets bigger, you are more comfortable. Yeah. Then you got more employees. Then you can have more time with your family and stuff like that. But when you're struggling, you're a startup, that's really tough, man. You know, and it's very, very tough. So you need to get to a certain skill. And how many people get to this skill? You need to understand there's so much blood, sweat and tears, kena kecam left and right, and all this kind of stuff. And you reach here today and yeah, you can, you know, smell the roses. But I tell you, the first 7-8 years of doing this, right? Really, I work 7 days a week. I don't have any off days. I don't even go on holidays. It's only like after COVID, you know, and then the business is stable now. Then I start going holidays. I made so many personal sacrifices for this, you know. Yeah. So you need to ask yourself, are you ready to make all these personal sacrifices? Are you willing to work 7 days a week? Only time you see your family is maybe dinner, you know. You don't go on holidays. You just work nonstop. Because that's how much it takes to make a business succeed. That's why a lot of people fail. I mean, luck also is one thing, but hard work is... comes with it lah. It's a lot of sacrifice, and you gamble a lot of things. You gamble your savings. I won't say gamble lah. You risk your savings, and then you know there's a lot of sacrifices. You go through a lot of disappointments, a lot of hardship. So you need to really not only muka tebal, you have to very hati pun tebal, very tabah to like
hati
kena keras, kena tabah.
Keras, bro.
Yeah, keras. It takes a certain character to last. You have to be very, very tough.
So the great hustler, Christy Ng, you've made it. Congratulations.
Yes. Not made it lah. We are okay.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm very blessed because of my customers. They support us.
But the great hustler, Christy Ng ni, I mean, do you see yourself slowing, settling down? I don't want to be like sexist, tapi macam you want to have a family ke apa ke? I mean,
yeah, hopefully one day. Yeah.
Still, that's still in the on the cards lah pada
you. Yes.
Okay.
Alright, Christy, thank you so much for
thank
hosting
us.
Thank you.
Good conversation.
Saya sangat teraspirasi. Terus rasa macam nak menjual.
Sebab tadi jumpa dia sebelum kita start recording, tanya dia, so Christy sekarang ni dah stable, cukup tidur tak? Dia cakap, yeah, I had a good sleep at night apa semua. Yeah. So sebelum ni masa dia tengah hustling apa semua, I'm sure tak cukup tidur. Kita pun tak cukup tidur loh kan.
Kita
record dan record malam tu guys. So nak balik tidur. Thank you so much Christy for having us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Okay. Untuk episod pagi kali ni, Nani, sign out kan? Episode
jangan lupa vote for us Anugerah Shock.
Yes. Jangan lupa untuk undi kami di Anugerah Shock.
Keluarkan lagi video.
Keluarkan. Di sini vote. Sebab apa? Seperti mana yang Luke cakap tadi, anda boleh lakukannya. Bukan Luke, GB yang cakap tadi, boleh lakukannya 5 kali sehari. Jadi setiap kali
amalkan selepas subuh.
Amalkan secara istiqamah. Amalkan 5 kali sehari, undilah kami. Okay, so thank you.
Bye.
Macam tu. Bye guys. Assalamualaikum.